Greetings, time travelers! You've tuned into Bürgermeisterin, the portal to the past. I'm Julia, your temporal guide, ready to unlock the mysteries of history. Join me on a quest to rediscover the extraordinary events and extraordinary individuals who have left a mark on our collective heritage. Ladies and gentlemen, gather round for a tale of grandeur, transformation, and even a little bit of neglect, because we are about to embark on a whimsical journey through the ages with Vianden Castle, or as the locals affectionately call it, Wiener Schloss. Picture this, Vianden Castle, a fortress so mighty, it's like the Disneyland of fortresses, located in the charming town of Vianden in the enchanting north of Luxembourg. This colossal structure is so huge, it's the extra large in castle sizes. And no, it doesn't have Wi-Fi, but it does have history dating back to the 4th century as the Roman outpost. Because what better way to keep those pesky Gauls in check than with a fancy fort? The castle, like any respectable fashionista, decided to have a makeover in the 11th to the 14th centuries and chose the Romanesque style as its new look. Think of it as a medieval equivalent of sporting a toga. Quite the statement piece. And what's a good makeover without some Gothic trimmings and accessories? So they slapped some of those on at the end of the transformation period. Voila, the castle got ready for the catwalk. Or siege, in this case. Fast forward to the 17th century, when Renaissance was all the rage. The castle decided it needed a mansion, because really, who doesn't? A touch of sophistication was added, and the castle looked as if it was ready to host the most epic game of Dungeons & Dragons. Now here's where things get really interesting. After centuries of rocking the castle life, someone, somewhere, decided to let the place go to ruin. Maybe they were busy binge-watching medieval reality shows, who knows. But don't fret, because just like Phoenix rising from the ashes, or a knight in shining armor, the Vianden Castle has been fully restored. It's back in the game, welcoming visitors with open drawbridges, so you can finally live out your childhood dream of being a knight, a princess, or simply a tourist. But first things first. Once upon a time, in the year 275, yes, you heard that right, 275, when togas were all the rage and chariots were the latest in transportation, someone had a brilliant idea. They decided to build a little something along the Great Reims-Cologne Roman Road, which in those days was probably as bustling as a Roman freeway during rush hour. This structure wasn't just any old building. It was going to be the town's trusty shield against attacks. Because, let's face it, the Roman Empire had its fair share of drama. But, and there's always a but in these tales, around 430-440, they decided to call it quits. Maybe the Roman buildings went on strike, or perhaps they got a taste of chariot racing, who knows. The result was that the fort was left to its own devices. Must have been lonely out there on that Roman road. No, fast forward to the time of knights, castles, and the occasional dragon sighting, or so the legends say, and we find ourselves in Vianden. Lo and behold, they decided to build another castle. Because who can resist a good castle, right? This time, it was right on the spot where the old Roman hangout used to be. They even discovered a basement that seemed to be a Carolingian refuge, a cozy little spot for medieval snacks and mead. In the year 1090, we finally get a count, and not just any count, but the very first count of Vianden. It's like medieval royalty decided to join the party fashionably late. This castle then became the hotspot of the Vianden VIPs until the 15th century. Yes, they partied like it was 1399. What's up, Taylor Swift reference? Around the year 1000, because we like round tables, they decided it was time to build a proper medieval stone castle on the land. This one came with a watchtower and a noble wall for defenses. You know, just in case they had to fend off dragons or surprise visits from neighboring kingdoms. But wait, the plot thickens. In 1994, there was a grand excavation and they stumbled upon something truly epic. The late antiquity tower from the Merovingian period, the ruling family of the Franks from the middle of the 5th century until 751. They even dated it by analyzing the wood scaffolding they found on site. This tower is like the oldest living relic of the castle's early days, a true OG in the world of medieval architecture. Now, brace yourselves for the thrilling episode of Extreme Castle Makeover Vianden Edition that took place during the Middle Ages, a time when architects and interior designers were the true rock stars. So picture this. It's around the year 1100 and the first version of the Vianden Castle had just been completed. It was like the trendiest fixer-upper of the time, complete with a square keep, a kitchen, medieval master chef anyone, a chapel for all your holy needs, and some swanky residential rooms. Clearly, this was the castle where all the cool aristocrats hang out. As we rolled into the first half of the 12th century, they decided that the castle needed a facelift. So they added a bigger residential tower, because who doesn't need a more space, right? Plus a prestigious decagonal chapel, because circles are so overrated. And of course, they extended the palace because a castle's gotta have room to party. The decagonal chapel turned out to be such a hit that they even dated it. The year 1170 was its golden year. And they didn't stop there, they added some architectural bling to the hall to give it some character. Then they built a grand gallery connecting the hall to the chapel, because honestly, every medieval castle needs a good indoor-outdoor flow for all those knights and ladies mingling. These medieval architects and aristocrats weren't messing around. They were on a mission to rival the House of Luxembourg with their swanky castle. But wait, there's a twist. In the middle of the 13th century, they decided the castle needed a whole new style. Gothic. Out with the old, in with the new. And just when you thought they were done, in 1621, Prince Maurice of Orange-Nassau-Vianden strolled in with a Renaissance-style mansion. Because apparently, no castle is truly complete without a banqueting hall and a bedroom in the Renaissance style. Fast forward to the 19th century, folks, and we've got a new chapter in the wild story of Vianden Castle. In 1820, King William I had a bit of a Marie Kondo moment and decided it was time to declutter. So he sold the castle to a certain Wenzel Costa, who was just an alderman but had some big demolition plans. Costa didn't waste any time and got right to work. He basically turned the castle into the ultimate garage sale. I mean, he was selling off everything, bit by bit. Need some roof tiles? He had them. Wooden panels, doors, windows? Check, check, and check. He even auctioned off the roof beams, gutters, made of fancy copper, and lead. Nothing was spared. And just like that, the castle was left in ruins. It's like someone had a going out of business sign hanging on its gate. The once proud fortress, host to knights, nobles, and who knows what kind of medieval shindigs, was now a shadow of its former self. Vianden Castle had officially hit rock bottom. Well, it turns out that King William I's garage sale bonanza didn't sit well with his subjects, especially considering he was a Count of Vianden himself. They were so outraged by the mistreatment of the castle that in 1827, the king must have felt a bit guilty. He decided to right his wrongs and repurchase the ruins from a mere 1,100 florins, perhaps as a sort of a royal my bad. The king had good intentions, hoping to kickstart the restoration work. However, life had other plans for him. The Belgian Revolution of 1830 came along, and it was a real party pooper. So Vianden Castle continued to sit in his state of disrepair for a couple more decades. But don't worry, the story doesn't end there. In 1851, Prince Henry of the Netherlands rode to the rescue. He, at his own expense, decided it was time to breathe new life into the old chapel. A little nip and tuck, and they gave it a lower roof, Then in 1890, when Adolf of Nassau-Weilburg ascended to the throne as the Grand Duke of Luxembourg, he was like, we've got to finish what we started. So he called in Bobo Adhart, a German specialist in castle restoration, to carry out the work. And boy, did Adhart make some headway, bringing the castle back from the dead. But, and here comes another twist in the tale, his work was rudely interrupted by the First World War. Talk about bad timing, right? So Vianden Castle had to wait a little longer for its full Cinderella moment. But fast forward to the chaos of the Second World War, specifically to November 19th, 1944. This was the day when the Battle of Vianden went down and Vianden Castle suddenly found itself in the middle of some high-stakes action. The Waffen-SS, those not-so-friendly folks from the Nazi regime, had their sights set on the castle. But they had quite the surprise waiting for them. Members of the Luxembourg resistance, brave heroes of the time, who were fighting tooth and nail against the Nazi occupation, had made Vianden Castle their battleground. Picture this, it's September 1944, and the Grand Duchy of Luxembourg has just been liberated by the heroic US Army forces. But the Germans weren't about to call it quits and head home. No, they pulled back, regrouped, and established new defensive positions along the border rivers Moselle, Sauer, and Aare. It was like a tense standoff in a high-stakes game of chess. As soon as the country breathed the air of freedom once again, the brave members of the Luxembourgish resistance sprang into action. They formed a militia that spanned the entire country, ready to defend their homeland against any remaining threats. The United States Army, ever the supportive ally, provided them with the arms and ammunition they needed. In Vianden, agents perched atop the castle walls like modern-day knights, equipped with binoculars to keep a watchful eye on the German lines across the river. It was a crucial vantage point where they could stop German troops' movements and report them to the Allied forces. The castle became their lookout tower, their beacon of hope. On November the 15th, the Luxembourgish militia had quite the showdown. They caught sight of a German patrol meandering between Wesel and Battel and decided it was time to make their move. In a daring strike, they took on this German patrol and in a fierce exchange, 5 out of the 11 German soldiers met their fate at the hands of the Luxembourgers. Miraculously, the Luxembourgers suffered no casualties. And as you can imagine, this incident didn't sit well with the German command. They decided they'd had enough and were determined to reclaim the fortress that was Vianden Castle. Now, Victor Abens, the fearless leader of the resistance, knew that things were about to get serious. He quickly organized the evacuation of the civilian population of Vianden, making sure they were safe from the impending conflict. However, he and his band of 30 militiamen were having none of it. They were staying put, ready to defend their town and their castle. In the following days, the US Army, those allies of freedom, came to the aid of the Luxembourgers in Vianden. They supplied them with much-needed weapons and ammunition, standing by their side in this epic struggle. The town became a symbol of resilience, with its people ready to stand and fight to protect their home and their freedom. On the fateful Sunday morning of November 19th, the German plan was set in motion. Their reconnaissance had suggested that an artillery barrage followed by a frontal assault was the best strategy to capture the formidable Vianden Castle. So with 250 soldiers of the Waffen-SS, they launched their attack on the town and the castle. The Germans wasted no time. They bombarded the town and the castle with artillery, causing destructions and chaos. As they began their assault on the castle itself, they had to reckon with the fierce resistance from 4 brave members of the Luxembourgish militia. These individuals had fortified the castle and were prepared to defend it with their lives. The German soldiers pushed forward, slowly advancing across the river and attempting to fight their way up to the castle. However, the castle defenders put up a formidable fight, inflicting heavy casualties on the German forces. Despite their limited equipment and manpower, the Luxembourg militia held their ground for hours. In a dramatic turn of events, six German soldiers managed to breach the castle's defences through the gate. Inside the castle, house-to-house fighting ensued, with both sides sustaining casualties. However, after a fierce struggle, the Germans were eventually forced to withdraw from the castle. But the Luxembourgers weren't done yet. Their unyielding resistance made the Germans rethink their strategy. They decided to shift their focus to the town, where they attempted to clear it door-to-door, seeking out the dug-in militia members. The battle raged on, and ultimately the strong resistance put up by the militia proved too much for the German forces to handle. Defeated and battered, the Germans were forced to abandon their assault and retreat across the river to Germany. Vianden had stood firm, a testament to the indomitable spirit of its defenders, and its castle remained a symbol of resilience and determination. In the aftermath of the intense battle for Vianden, the toll was clear. 18 German soldiers had lost their lives in the heat of the fight. The gallant 30 members of the Luxembourgish militia had shown extraordinary resilience, suffering just a single casualty, one brave soul who gave their life for the cause. Three others were seriously wounded, and three more sustained minor injuries during the battle. Unfortunately, the horrors of war sometimes extended beyond the battlefield. Tragically, a single civilian lost their life when a grenade exploded in their home. Collateral damage is a heart-wrenching reality of any conflict. The resistance fighters showed that this ancient fortress still had some military mojo left in it, even in the face of modern warfare. They defended the castles with skill and determination, proving that history and tradition could still pack a punch, even in the midst of the 20th century warfare. This battle was no small affair. It stood as one of the crown jewels of the Luxembourg resistance efforts during World War II. The brave men and women of the resistance were determined to defend their homeland against the forces of darkness, and Vianden was to be a significant battleground in their heroic struggle. The Battle of Vianden was a symbol of hope, courage, and the undying spirit of resistance in the darkest days of World War II. It wasn't just a battle, it was a statement that the people of Luxembourg were willing to fight for their freedom and their principles they held dear. Jesus, I am having goosebumps right now reading this. And well, after decades of neglect and uncertainty, it wasn't until 1962 that the idea of breathing new life into the castle began to gain momentum. The armory was the first to be reconstructed, offering a glimmer of hope for the castle's revival. However, the path forward was still clouded with questions about the castle's ownership. The castle's fate remained uncertain until 1977, when Grand Duke Jean finally ceded the castle to the state. With this crucial step, the wheels of restoration were set back in motion. In 1978, the focus shifted to rebuilding the castle's walls, gables, and roof. It was a monumental task, but the castle was slowly starting to regain its former glory. A year later, the chapel received a new roof, and efforts were made to restore it to its original Gothic appearance, which had been lost in a fire caused by lightning way back in 1667. The White Tower also got some tender loving care, reinforced and topped with a conical roof. And the restoration continued with great determination. In 1981-82, the Nassau Mansion, a key part of the castle, was finally restored. The goal was to refurnish the interior as authentically as possible, breathing life back into the castle's grand rooms and chambers. While many rooms were yet to be excavated, even more were still lacking furnishings. The restoration efforts, driven by dedication and love for history, persisted for years. Finally, in 1990, Vianden Castle rose from the ashes, a stunning testament to the dedication and determination of all those involved in its revival. The castle, once again a magnificent gem of history, stood proudly on its hill, a symbol of the enduring spirit of preservation and renewal.